think all week it's been an hectic week. It's been a learning week, really, because you learn who might want to come to us and fight for the cause, and you learn quite fast that there's not many in the mould of Jason Scotland, Chris O'Grady and Rory Delap. Spoke to a lot of advisors, a lot of managers and a lot of players. I had permission to speak to quite a lot of players, and in the end, by the time you spoke to them, you realise they either want to stay at the club and be part of a squad, or they've got designs on other clubs. So, you know, it's not frustrating to me. It's quite easy. You know, if you're not enthusiastic about coming playing for Barnsley and for one of the form teams in the league, then we don't want you here.
Does it mystify you, though, that there are players who would rather, I don't know, be part of a squad, not playing, maybe playing reserve team football, than rather get a game here?
Mystify, yes, probably a good word. But I think that society in general take an easy option as opposed to the ours option. I think, you know, they look at the short-term fix and don't come across. But long-term, I think somewhere that arms you. I was always a believer in playing as many league games as you can while you can. Whether you're 24, 35, however old you are in the food chain, go and get league games, because when you finish playing, like I did, you do miss it. And you do miss every moment and every game. You remember every game you ever played. And, you know, I think people are more interested in making money than making memories. And the more I get used to the Championship and watch the Premiership, that is my belief.
What happened with Ryan Tunnicliffe in the end?
Ryan, I think he had a time here that was probably fragmented in terms of from where he come from the 21s league, he probably wasn't physically capable to do a Saturday Tuesday. So when we didn't play him against Burnley, I think Tunner's got a little bit disillusioned. And obviously second half performance against Burnley was excellent. Then we won, we beat Brighton and Watford, and Tunners was sub for them games. And, you know, sometimes being sub and being part of a squad is difficult, especially when you're coming from a club like Man United. I still think, from a mental point of view, we could have developed him and helped develop Tunners. I had no problems putting him in, but, you know, I had to be true to myself and true to Kelvin Atuhu and Dave Perkins' performances. I think they've been, you know, the performances have been outstanding. Perks has been incredibly consistent, and Kelvin's just getting better by games. He's in that rhythm. I think Kelv took about two or three games where the knock from a confidence point of view really took him, the one at MK Dons. Mm-hmm. And then he's rediscovered his form. So I wanted Tunnis to be patient. I wanted Tunnis to be a good member of the squad, and that's what we asked Man United for to happen. Tunners felt it'd be best if he stayed at Man United. It's all about development with Tunners, you know, and Man United want to develop Tunners to play in their first team. And they've got a programme for him. They've got a coach there called Warren Joyce, and he's brilliant at what he does. So, you know, Joyce, he'll get him back there. He'll have, you know, 6 weeks, and then there'll be a sub-on programme. So Man United's thinking right, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and I'd have loved to have got him back for the last remaining part of the season, but we've not been able to.
Did you get a little call into Everton for John Stones just to see?
Absolutely. One last ditch, one real desperate phone call. And I thought I might have got him. I watched the Man City game and I thought Seamus Coleman was the best player on the park. So I was watching it really excited, thinking, you know, they're not going to want Stones. But they've got an injury. David said they've got an injury situation to Hibbert, who's back up for Seamus Coleman. So, you know, Stonesy, you know, obviously he's part of what Dave's doing there, and must think really highly of him to not let him out at the last ditch. I definitely had a sort of a thought that we could get him back.
You did get one in though, didn't you? Dennis Knight has come in. What can you tell us about him?
Again, just what we're trying to build underneath. You know, it's Peter Beardsley rates him as one of the most technically gifted players at Newcastle. He's found his way out of the system at Newcastle, so we brought him in, looked at him in training, and I'm trying to build that 21 squad now. I've got Eki in that position. We're trying to build the 21 squad and good quality players. He's not fit enough yet. We've got to get him fit. We've got to get him up to Championship standard. And Championship standard is getting fitter and stronger and more physical, you know, by the day for me. So he's not there yet. And it's a project that we're taking on to the end of season. And we'll see where that goes. But there's no real investment from the football club with a Dennis Knight one. It's just more see how he does over a certain period.
There was a bit of talk about Marlon Harewood as well, and he was linked with, I think it was Brighton. So what was the situation there?
absolutely nothing. Nothing in it, nothing about it. Didn't receive no phone calls from anyone. And probably paper talk in it and people just stirring up a bit of an hornet's nest. But there was definitely nothing in the Brighton one or anyone. The ones we had phone calls on is Rosie and Ruben. But, you know, I'm not letting them go. The form that them two boys are in is incredible. Ruben's now in a great place. And Danny Rose, the future's massive for Rosie. The last 2 weeks, he's had an incredible 2 weeks. So, you know, I've got two players there that, for me, are capable of playing this league.
Dave Jones was a bit unhappy when we spoke to him yesterday about a story he'd seen in one of the local newspapers where I think Bobby Hassel had talked about Chris O'Grady and the situation there. I just wondered, is that something that you speak to Bobby about, or is it something you just want to draw a line under?
You know, I'm not too sure. I think it's a paper, possibly, instead of being a local paper, trying to be sort of a red top paper. And I don't think, if you read all the transcripts to it, it's more about after the Watford game when Bobby scored, he's just got asked a question on Chris O'Grady and what his role is in this squad. And, you know, if Bobby's speaking honestly about it, Chris O'Grady's been a massive part of what we've done. He's been a massive part of this squad. When he first came, he didn't start. He was a squad player who just looked at everything, and he's been incredible. Since Chris O'Grady's come here, he's been incredible. And what I've loved is the fans have taken to him. And that's difficult sometimes coming from a team like Sheffield Wednesday, that the fans have taken to him. And, you know, we're getting on with. If Bobby said that, 12 days ago, you know, Bobby said that. But, you know, if that's where it's at, I'm not going to comment really anymore on that.
Mm. The fans at Wednesday like Chris O'Grady as well. Are you ever still surprised that you maybe were able to bring him here?
You know, we've had Chris, I've worked with Chris, and I know what makes tick Chris. I know what, you know, makes tick for Chris, but we tried and tried and tried over probably 6 months to get OG. You know, we tried on numerous occasions, and I think every time that we thought we could get him, then, you know, he'd either score a goal or have a great performance. So we've tried for at least 6 months to get Chris into the building, and it's not happened. But, you know, Sheffield Wednesday at the time, they've had Conor Wickham, they've had Ross Barkley, they've had what's the boy?
Leiter.
They got Leiter in later, didn't they? They got Antonio. They got Gary Medine. They had the boy.
Alan as well.
No, the boy from QPR.
Bothroyd.
You know, so they've had incredible strikers. They've got real incredible strikers this season. So you can see where Chris O'Grady doesn't fit into them plans. But I know what we need from Chris O'Grady. I know what he brings to our football club, and that's why I went and got him.
Is it a loss that you, obviously it's a loss that you're not going to be able to play him in this game, but do you feel like you can get around that as well?
We have done. You know, Marlon's been brilliant. He's been watching for the last two or three games. He's been incredible form, whether I've put him with Daggers or Jason Scotland or Danny Rose. Marlon's form, since certainly I took over, has been nothing short of staggering. And he carries our front line. He wants to lead up there, which is important. I give him that responsibility. So, you know, Marlon, it's a great acquisition to have. You know, we lost Rory Delap and Bobby coming against Watford and did a brilliant job. So, you know, Tom Kennedy's, you know, coming at left back after missing arguably one of the best left backs in the season with Goldie. So, you know, whoever we've brought in, we've looked after the lads that have been out of the squad. Kelvin Atu, prime example, when Dawes gets injured. So, you know, it doesn't feel losing players. You just want a fully fit squad to try and negotiate the last nine games of the season.
A Wednesday, a bit of an unknown quantity at all for the fact that they've signed three players within the last sort of 48 hours.
You know what you're getting with Sheffield Wednesday. You know, Dave Jones epitomises winning football. He's been a winner at every club he's had. He's a fierce competitor. And, you know, it's going to be a game that whoever the personnel is that we come against, they'll have a plan, they'll have an objective to that game, and they'll be hitting the areas in the last third that most competitive teams want to hit. You know, the game's about scoring goals, it's about winning, and that's what Dave Jones has always proved to be as a manager. So we expect no different, and I think that's what you've got to gauge it on. Sometimes personnel A bit like the Watford game, you know, Shalabar was a massive player for them. He didn't play. So you can get too honed in on certain players who might not play, but they've made acquisitions this week. It's a big squad. It's a big squad to manage, but it's only 9 games you've got to manage that big squad for. And, you know, Dave Jones knows the dynamics of his squad better than I do, but I just know that I've got an incredible dynamic in this squad, and that they all want to play for the cause, play for each other, and they're looking forward to a game against Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday.
The last signing they made was Steve Howard, who was going to be 37 in a month. You know, everybody knows about Steve. You know, how do you deal with a striker like that, even at his age, I guess?
Well, you've got a striker, though, with experience. You've got a striker with guile, all the way to Kevin Phillips, because he knows him. He knows how to play Kevin Phillips. You know, obviously, Sheffield Wednesday have signed Steve Howard because they're going to play at Steve Howard's strengths. You don't sign Steve Howard and suddenly start playing a different type of game, you know. So I suppose it informs you what type of game we're going to get on Saturday. So Steve Howard's in the team, or if he is in the team, he'll be part of what they're doing. And it's another problem that we're going to have to negotiate and look forward to negotiating, because it's just another challenge.
It's going to be an electric atmosphere, isn't it?
It's going to be massive. You know, the only experience that I'll probably have of something like this was the Leeds game that we played Leeds in, a real local derby that obviously got us the job. Myself, Mickey and Martin got us the job to manage this club. So the players performed in that game. Probably one of my most memorable performances as a team performance, and that's what it's going to have to be. If that happens and if we get a supercharged performance, then our fans are going to back us. We've had some incredible results on the away from home. Drew at Ipswich, obviously drew at Burnley, beat Hull, beat Middlesbrough, beat Blackpool. And, you know, on the way home, seeing some fans in the services was brilliant. Met up with a few fans. We stopped for a Costa and we met some fans, and brilliant what they felt and how they felt about it. Remember bringing a fan home and listening to what he had to say, you know. So it's a day out for the fans. It'll be an emotional day, and we can't get caught up in that emotion. We've got to get caught up in what we've been working on this week. And where we're at this week, we've been to St George's all for 2 days this week. We've had a brilliant prep week. The lads had a week off last week, and they deserved that week off. And now we train Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The energy was unbelievable. The octane, it was everything. Tuesday off, and then we've locked in St George's Wednesday, Thursday, and had two brilliant days in a fantastic facility to prepare for this game. So the club's done everything it can. As a management team, we've done everything we can. And we're fully prepared for this game on Saturday.
You referenced the Leeds game. In that match, you were relentless, really, from minute one to 90. Are you going to need to do that again?
Well, Jan Zola's comments, as well as give the squad a lot of confidence. You know, when you hear a player of his standing in the game, comment on the game after and speak to us after in the manager's room about he didn't expect us to keep that going for 95 minutes, that relentless approach to the way we play, said volumes for the team and said volumes for the way we try to do things. Now, if we can find that level of performance, I'm sure it's what every fan wants to see, that energy that we display. And we've got players who can repeat and perform that with our energy levels. So, you know, we had a great pre-season. We've been performing well all season. We've now been getting good results. And we've got to pull all that together for the next 9 games to give us a chance to stay in this football league.
I suppose it's not just the fact that if you were to get the win, it's another victory for you guys, but it's another team that's below you. You can sort of extend that little bit of a gap that you've got there and can keep moving forward. Are these games with the other teams in the bottom half going to be even more crucial at this stage?
I'm not sure, because, you know, I've not looked at it like that. What you can do when you take over, when I took over, is you can say, right, well, let's beat all the teams in the bottom half, and anything we win over that, it's a bonus. So you might as well not turn up to play the top six. You might as well not even turn up. Now, we have done, and I've really put a big significance onto that, because what I've seen, certainly with the top 8 teams, is that they're finding it hard to get over the line. They've had a confidence crisis. They've had a pressure crisis. The owners might start worrying about where they need to be, the pressure and the investment that they've hit hard. So there's a different pressure at the top of the league, and we've been able to go against that, play against that, and do really well against that. So we've picked up points where no one else has expected us to pick up points, and that's been key to what to being where we are in the league. You know, to beat Brighton when you're bottom of the league after a performance at Man City that wasn't belied what we did. I mean, that was an incredible pressure job to beat Wolves when we beat them. So these boys have come through incredible games with incredible pressure. It is important to beat teams in around you, but it's not catastrophic if you don't. And we've done everything this week to try and get a positive result against Sheffield Wednesday. And, you know, they are big games, but since I've, well, probably been the interim manager, they were some of the biggest games that this team's had to manage. You know, I said see you to the players three occasions and had to reintroduce myself. So this team's been fighting tooth and nail since I got a caretaker job here, and they know what big games is about.
And these games, players thrive on them. You know, they really look forward to these games. They tend to enjoy them as well. I think fans sometimes can be a bit anxious. If you win, it's great, but the 90 minutes can be a little bit stressful. For a manager, where is it? Do you sort of take the players? Do you enjoy these games, or can it be a bit tense?
No, you do, because I think if you try and do everything in preparation way and try and do everything right, then when it comes to 3 o'clock, you hope that your team performs. That's all you can do. I don't get nervous. I've got great people around me, you know, Mickey Mell and Martin. You've got top people around you, so that helps you as well when you look at the side and you've got people who've experienced what they've experienced. But I think the fans, since I've took over, they've been energised, but they've been quite calm. And, you know, we've made mistakes in this stadium and they've stayed with us. We've made mistakes away from home. The Burnley performance first half wasn't good at Burnley, but they stayed with us and they cheered us on to get an equaliser and to hopefully get a result that we should have got, so we should have beat Burnley. But the fans have been patient with it. They've been calm with it, and I think that's certainly helped me listening to the fans in the stadium. There's a calm and influence what they've got. Whereas I think pre to that, there's been a real, an edgy feeling around the place. And I think away from home and at home, we've not had that. And away from home, these fans are just ridiculously brilliant. And I'm sure there'll be more of the same come Saturday.